Love is the God-empowered choice to give of ourselves to meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I think it's safe to say that more novels have been written about this particular subject than any other. More songs have been sung about this topic than any other. More poems have been written about this theme than any other. And more movies have been made about this subject than any other. And of course, the subject I'm talking about is what, folks? I can almost hear it out there. Love. That's right, love. You know, built within all of us is a desire to love and to be loved. Because Scripture tells us that God, our Creator, He is love, and that He has made us in His image. And because we have been made in His image, so too then we have been designed. We have been designed to love and to be loved. But we might ask, well, what is love? What is love? As the songwriter famously asked, what is this thing called love? Well, we're continuing our new series discussing the fruit of the Spirit with a focus today on love. But first, I want us to think about this idea here that we talked about last week. We talked about how God's great work of eternal redemption is the greatest construction project in history, and that He is making all things new. And one day soon, He will fashion a new heaven and a new earth. But at the center of God's plan are countless men and women throughout all of human history, including you today. At the heart of God's great plan of redemption is remaking sinful people like me, sinful people like you. God is undertaking a great work of soul construction or reconstruction in you and me. He said, what is the goal? What is the goal of this soul construction? Well, the goal is He is hard at work transforming you and me into the image or the holy likeness of Christ. As I've said, He has a very long way to go with me. And I think it's true, though, that He has a long way to go with all of us, if we're honest about it, though, isn't it? But fortunately, we can all rest in the fact that God is more than capable for the task. In fact, He is infinitely able to accomplish His purposes. And so the goal of God's great construction project is the perfection of Jesus in us. Now, I'm not, and not any of us here, are going to be perfect in Jesus here now. That awaits us in the presence of the Lord. But God has called you and me to a growth process, a long, lifelong process of growth and change to be more like Jesus. That's the goal. What is the means? Well, God uses many means to bring about this goal of Christ-likeness. He uses the spiritual disciplines like the study and the reading and the meditation on Scripture. He uses prayer, that conversation with God. He uses worship, all kinds of worship, including when we are gathered together as God's people, but also our own private worship time as well. He uses fellowship with other believers, that coming together, that holding in common that life in Christ that we have. But He also uses then service, that God has given you and me gifts and abilities, and He's given each of us fields of opportunity in which to serve people. God uses all of those things to change us more and more into the image of Jesus. But as I said before, He also uses another method. It's a very powerful method, and this one isn't quite as popular as some of the others, and that is the method of hardship and difficulty. Because through hardship and difficulty, we are reminded, sometimes very powerfully, reminded of our own weakness and our own need, and we must turn to Him. That's the goal of Christ-likeness, the means, many means. But the power, what is the power then? Well, the power of it all is God's own power. God's own power to transform you and me. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in you and me. Scripture tells us when we believe in Jesus that the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, to live within us permanently, forever. And that he is the one who goes to work remaking us, refashioning us more and more into the image of Jesus. And so we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Some challenges then to that construction are the world, the devil, and the flesh. The world and the messages of the world that come at us daily. The devil, the satanic, the spiritual opposition, spiritual warfare that we all face. But I think maybe the greatest challenge of those actually lies within. It's ourselves, isn't it? It's that opposing force within us, the flesh, the sinful nature, the old capacity that doesn't want to do the good and the right. It wants to sin. And so we must battle against that. But God has given us a powerful helper in the Holy Spirit to overcome that opposing force within. And then who has given us a new capacity and a new nature. And he calls you and me then to walk in faith and obedience to him as he then produces the fruit of the character of Jesus in you and me. So looking then today at that fruit of the Spirit, we're focusing then today on love. We're in Galatians chapter 5, specifically verse 22, but we're going to look at that whole passage again to see the whole flow of thought there. And the main idea that I want us to take away from our time in God's Word today is this right here, that love is the God-empowered choice to give of ourselves to meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. You know, we could give many definitions of love. And part of the challenge of love is there isn't just one kind of love, is there? There are many different kinds of love. And because of that, we give many different definitions or nuances or understandings of love. The ancient Greeks famously had at least four different words for love. Storge was the love one would have for family members. Philia was the love of friends, friendship love. Eros was the love of romantic love, a husband and wife. But that greatest love of all, though, was agape. Agape was that unconditional, selfless, giving kind of love. It's God's love. And so our focus then for today is on that last kind of love, that agape love, that unconditional, selfless, giving love, God's kind of love. God's love for us, his agape love for us, which is the foundation for our love for others. But then the call then for you and me to love others as God has loved us. So again, we could define love in many different ways, but today I want us to think of it in this way, that love is the God-empowered choice to give of ourselves to meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. So look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 16 in just a moment here, but first a little context. Again, you recall that Paul is writing to the churches in the region of Galatia, and he is reinforcing this truth here, that our salvation is not found in works of the law, but it's found in faith through the completed work of Jesus Christ for us, that we have been redeemed, that is, we've been made right with God through faith in Jesus, through faith in him, in his life, his perfect life, in his death on the cross, and his triumph over death through his resurrection. And there were false teachers that were creeping into the church, and they were distorting the message of the gospel of grace and causing some of them then to slip back into old notions of works righteousness, that is, trying to be right with God through our own fleshly efforts to do good or to obey God. So believers then in those churches, they were struggling. They were struggling to live new righteous lives. And I am too. Aren't you? It is a struggle to live a righteous life in Christ, isn't it? But these believers, though, some of them, they had failed to understand that just as we are saved by grace, so too we are made righteous and holy by what? Grace. By grace. So we grow then in God's righteousness and the perfection of Christ by grace. And by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's look at this flow of thought then between the old and the new found in Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." I want you to focus on that passage there. I want you to know that we are going to be reading that passage, that whole passage, through each message in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Because I want us to see that flow of thought there each time, that the flesh, the sinful nature, is at war against the new nature, the new capacity in you and me. But God has overcome in Christ. God has overcome in Christ. But we must walk by the Spirit. That is, live in faith, walk in faith with Him, in dependency on Him and on His power. So let's focus then on this fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We're going to look at each one of these fruit of the Spirit here, starting today then with love. They said, you know, there is quite a bit we could say about this topic, isn't there? There's quite a bit that the Bible teaches about it. So we might ask, what does the Bible teach about love? Well, for today, I want to just give us some quick thoughts on what the Bible teaches about love. But with that focus, though, ultimately our focus is going to be on God's love in us, flowing through us to other people, so that we love others as God has first loved us. So what does the Bible teach about love? Well, some few thoughts here. First off is that God is love. God is love. We see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, among others. Let me read 1 John 4, 7 and 8 to you and see the flow here. It says, "Beloved," here is the Apostle John speaking, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So let us love one another. As I said, this is the Apostle John speaking here. You know, one of the things that has always touched me, he was called the Apostle of Love. The Apostle of Love. And when you read the Gospel of John, but particularly when you read the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, especially here in 1st John, you see this theme of love again and again and again. But you know what I find fascinating about that? Is who John was before Jesus called him to be his disciple, his follower, his student. See, John and his brother James, Jesus had nicknames for them. He called John and his brother James, he called them the sons of thunder. In other words, you know, when you were a son of something, you were that topic, that characterized you. And so he said, sons of thunder. What do you think John must have been like for Jesus to call him a son of thunder? Or what, a very loud and forceful personality, I would think, right? But how then did this son of thunder become the apostle of love? Well, it was walking with Jesus, isn't it? Walking with Jesus changed him. because love is from God, and God is love. See, love is a fundamental characteristic of God's nature. You know, we've had a chance to do some studies in systematic theology, looking at the attributes of God, that is, the characteristics of God. What is God like? What is his fundamental nature? And there are many elements of that, but one of those fundamental characteristics of God is that he is love. It is his very nature to love. God cannot be anything other than love, or to be loving, or to act in a loving way. Now, yes, sometimes part of love is judgment. It's judgment on sin. Even God's judgment is a form or an expression of God's love. So God is love, and love comes from God to you, to me, that God calls us then to give that love to others. So God is love. What else does Scripture say? Well, Scripture says that love is costly. That is that agape kind of love. It is a sacrificial love. It is a giving of self, no matter the cost to oneself. The supreme example of that, of course, is found in Scripture, is the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no greater example in all. There's no possible greater example of love than the love of Jesus Christ for us. That verse that many people, even people who do not know the Lord, they've heard it. A lot of people know this verse. They're familiar with this verse. They've heard it many, many times. But that verse is John 3:16 that says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That is ultimate love, is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Ultimate agape love gives to another, no matter the cost to self. You know, for a long time, I used to focus on the love of Jesus and his willingness to come into this world, how he humbled himself, how he took on human nature, or human body. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the law of God, perfect faith. Then he went to the cross. He suffered physically, but he also suffered spiritually when he was punished for our sins. He triumphed over that. He died, he was buried, and he rose again triumphing over that. I always focused on that love of Jesus, but you know, and as some years have gone by, I've thought, What a powerful expression, too, of the love of God the Father. For God the Father to give his Son, to put his Son, his beloved Son, through that for you and me. So that is ultimate agape love. That's God's kind of love. It gives to other, it does for other, no matter the cost to self. God couldn't possibly have paid any higher cost for you and me than he did in his Son, Jesus, the greatest cost ever paid. And that's the kind of love you and I are called to. Anybody feeling a little bit inadequate right now? I do. We all do, right? Of course, we can't love like that. God knows we're weak, but he gives us his power. And he calls us to grow into that kind of love. So God is love. Love is costly. Also, though, love is the greatest commandment. You know, some of the opponents of Jesus, the Pharisees, they got together and they had decided they wanted to test Jesus. They were opposed to Jesus. And in Matthew 22, starting in verse 34, we see, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. And he said, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.' See, Jesus said, this is the great commandment. What is the great commandment? Well, it's love. And first, what? To love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. In other words, the depth, from the depth of our being, with all that we have and all that we are, we love God first. God comes first. But then there's another commandment. The second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. In other words, if we get those two commandments right, that if we love God with all of our being and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will fulfill all of God's command, all of God's commandments. The whole summary of God's law is right there. Love God with all your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. But people, like me, need a little further explanation on those things. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? But that is the great commandment. And when we get love right, we get everything else right then too. But here's the thing I want us to consider too then. So what does the Bible teach about love? Well, that God is love. Love is costly. Love is the great commandment. And notice I said the word commandment there. We're commanded to love God with all of our being. We're commanded to love God with all of our, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So what does it mean? Love, then. Love is not optional. Love is not optional. You know, sometimes we go through our lives thinking like what God says as if it's an option or a choice for us to make. And I agree, we do have to make choices to obey God. But God doesn't tell us these things thinking, you know, if it occurs to you or it feels good to you or seems right to you, then obey what I said. No, he tells us what? Do what I say. And so he has told us to love him with all of our being, to love our neighbor as ourselves. But Jesus, though, then, he then takes that great commandment and that commandment to love, and actually, I like to say, he ups the ante a little bit on it. Because there was, as Jesus is gathered with his disciples in the upper room the evening before, on that evening before he would be crucified the next day, he's celebrating the Passover meal there with them. And at one point he says to them in John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. So I think, well, wait a minute. Why did Jesus say this is a new commandment? Didn't we just read a minute ago? We said, love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. For many, many years, God's people have known that they are called to love others, love your neighbor as yourself. So why does Jesus say this is a new commandment? Well, he says it's new because he is giving it a new power and a new force. And it's, if you will, it's a higher standard even. Love your neighbor as yourself, you know, like treat others the way you would want to be treated. Okay, that's loving others, loving your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus, though, takes it a step further and he says here what? Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. That's that profound, agape, unconditional, sacrificial, giving and doing for others, no matter the cost or the inconvenience or the pain to ourselves. That's what makes it new. And notice, it's not optional. It's not optional. A few other things about what the Bible teaches about love then. Well, love is the supreme virtue. Love is the supreme virtue. Many of you know that one of the great chapters in all of Scripture on love is found in 1 Corinthians 13, where we see that beautiful description there of what love is, what love is like, what love does, what love doesn't do. But I love how that passage, that chapter starts off, though, talking about the importance of love, how it is the supreme virtue, and how no matter how great and accomplished we may be or think we are, if we don't love, God says what? It all amounts to zero. Nothing. if we don't have love. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, again, he's speaking to a church here in Corinth that was had kind of gone astray on what it meant to love one another. They had a misunderstanding of spiritual gifts and the importance of them, and some of them, they thought that certain gifts were more important than others, certain people were more important than others in the church. So he's setting them straight on that. And they were particularly focused on this spiritual gift of tongues, like that was the greatest of all the gifts. But look what he says then in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I have the ability. They really had great impression, admiration for that gift, the gift of tongues. He said, well, if I could speak in all the tongues of men and even angelic tongues, but I didn't love, it's not a beautiful sound I'm making at all. I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It says, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? All prophetic, understand all mysteries, all knowledge. There is nothing you don't know about the Bible or God's plan or God's wisdom. And if you have all faith, such great faith to remove mountains, those are pretty wonderful things, don't you think? Well, you can have that. But if you don't love, God says you're what? Nothing. And the last one, what? If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, that is, if I sacrifice, I give up my life, if I'm burned up for Christ, a martyr, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. What does this tell us? That, you know, that we can be very impressive people with our gifts and abilities. We can do impressive things. We can have great faith. We can understand so much of God's word. We can even give away. We can be giving persons who give away all we have. We can do all of that, but still not love. And the Bible says, if we don't have love, then it is nothing. It gains us nothing. It all goes for nothing. So love is the supreme virtue. Love also then, it puts others first. Goes on to say there, starting in verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We spend a life, I'm well into my life now. I'm still learning about all of these qualities and characteristics of love. You know, I like whenever I read that there where it says, love is patient. Love is patient. I know some of us have prayed, Lord, make me patient right now. Actually, that's probably not something people pray very often, do they? We don't like to pray for patience, but we need it. God is patient with you. He's patient with me. We need to be patient with others then. Kind, not arrogant, boastful, rude, demanding its own way, irritable, resentful, rejoicing in wrongdoing. Rather, it rejoices in the truth and things that are good. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It does all of this for the glory of God and for the love of others. So love is the supreme virtue. Love, then, it puts others first. All of those things you see, the person who loves puts others first. Love obeys God, then. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, it's not optional, right? God tells us to love. He doesn't suggest it. He tells us to do it. And in fact, it even goes so far as to say that, you know, if we really love God, we will obey him. Now, this isn't a perfect obedience. Believe me, I do not perfectly obey God. But I think we are growing. We need to grow in that obedience over the years. And again, it's a lifelong process. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love obeys God. Last one here then today, then love even, in fact, it says, love is the evidence of true knowledge of God. Going back to that first one we looked at in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, where it says that God is love. Look at what else he said there. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And what? And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In other words, if we truly know God, if we are in a right relationship with him, and we are growing in that relationship with him, well, we can't help but love others then, because God is love. And so someone who says, well, I know God, I'm walking with God, but they don't love others, John says what? They're a liar. You cannot truly know God and not love others, because God is love. And again, I know this is a lifelong process of growth, isn't it? But we cannot claim to truly know God and live in hatred of others. So you might ask, looking at that, well, who can love like that? Who can love like that? And the simple answer is only two words, these two words right here. Only God. Only God can love like that. You might ask, well, what was the point of looking at all of this? Is if only God can love like that, I can never love like that, you can never love like that. Well, then what was the point of looking at it all? Well, because there's something else the scripture says, though, about it. It says, yes, only God can love like that, but he also, though, empowers others. Only God and those he empowers by his Spirit. That's who can love like that. You can love like that. I can love like that. I don't right now. I never will perfectly in this life. You won't either. But he calls us to that lifelong process of growth in love, to love like he loves. See, it becomes then, it isn't about my effort or yours to try to do better, to try to love more. It's knowing God, walking with God, and then God's love, the fruit of the Spirit. God produces his love in you and me. His fruit of love overflows. His love overflows into our lives so that we become channels or instruments of his love to others. Well, so what? What do you want me to take away from all of this? Well, I'll take us back to where we started and remind us that love is the God-empowered choice to give of ourselves to meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. So I'll conclude then by just asking this one question. Is your life characterized by growth in love? Folks, I don't love perfectly, but is my life characterized by growth in love? I guess I'd have to ask you. I'm probably a little biased source. I think I see evidence of God's work in my life in that. I see evidence of God's work of love in all of you too. I see that. So is your life characterized then by growth in love? You might ask, well, how do we grow in love then? Well, I think it's this. We make the choice. We make the choice to love. If we wait until we feel loving, we're never going to love people, are we? We make the choice to love. That is to act for the benefit, the good, the well-being of another person, no matter what. We make the choice to love, and then we depend on God's power. We become channels of God's love. I always like this illustration of like a farmer's field, and in irrigation, there's some different irrigation methods, and one of them, of course, is there'll be like a stream of water and near the field, and then they'll cut some channels in that so that water from the stream, it flows into those channels then to water the crops into the in the fields. You know, I think in some ways that's how it is then with God's love in us. and the call, the challenge for you to me to, and me to grow in love. You see, God's love is the stream or the mighty river. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, he creates channels in our hearts in which his love can flow into those channels so that it refreshes us and refreshes other people in our lives. See, that's how we grow in love. We make the choice. We depend upon God's power. And then we see him produce the fruit of his love in us that then overflows to others. That is God's love, and that's the love that he calls you and me to. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. He is the down payment, the deposit, the guarantee that you are going to finish the great work that you have begun in us. He is our counselor, our friend, our helper. Thank you, Lord, that he is producing the fruit of love in us. God, I pray that we would be challenged by what we have heard here today, that we would commit or recommit ourselves anew to the commandment here to love as we have been loved, knowing, Lord, that this doesn't come by our strength. It is your power. It is your Spirit who empowers us. May we become mighty instruments or channels of love to our families, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and Lord, most of all, to those who are against us, who hate us, who persecute us. May we be channels of your love. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.